Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
Practical logical and hilarious is not about in agreeing which I generally do it about all around that song good part.
Eloquent and succinct. Go to iTunes, rate and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I want to thank Zoom for this half of the show at Zoom.us and Castrol, Titanium Strong for maximum energy performance, and Geico. You go to Geico.com. Hunter Atkins here. Hunter's the winner of March Madness, and he's in town from Houston.
That's right. Look at that masculine man.
Yeah.
I'm not redefining the word either.
In the traditional That's sense.
Right. Hunter, let's talk about you, your background. Let's get to know Hunter a little. You live in Houston?
I live in Houston. I was born and raised in New York City. And simply for work and the job, I'm relocated to Houston. And it's been outstanding. I can't recommend Houston enough.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. I went there for the Super Bowl with Kimmel many years ago and found it to be sort of unappealing.
Well, 13 years ago, respectfully, it was very, very different. You went to, I assume, the one in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, I feel like it was season, God, I feel like it was more like 05 or 04 or something. Well, we could probably figure it out with the computer, but
it was 13 years ago, I think. And
oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
Mid-2000s. Yeah, and, you know, it was before
right?
04 or 05 would
Oh, that's
mid-2000s.
It is? Okay.
Yeah. But it was before also there was this kind of boom in the oil industry that then led to all kinds of incredible development in the city. And it's now a huge transplant city. It's the most multicultural city in the country, more than L.A., more than Miami, more than New York.
I'm out.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go anymore.
You're telling me a bunch of rich white folks. I think there's a JR's there. He's got some horns on his Cadillac.
So you're not the only Jew? That's correct. There are maybe like a dozen.
Wow.
You know, do you all know each other? Yeah, we'll just blow the shofar.
Sure.
And they,
sure. For the high holidays. And Hunter, you're born and raised in New York.
Panthers versus Patriots? Is that what it was? Yeah, all right. So it's been 14 years. Yeah, it's been a while.
Hunter, New Yorker accentless.
I could turn it on if I had to.
Interesting.
Right. So Houston, good place to relocate, good place to live.
Outstanding. Cost of living is low. Shorts and sandals all year round. Hot as hell. Mm. And the sports, which is what I cover for a living, are outstanding right now.
Oh, well, let's talk about what you cover for a living.
Prime time for Houston sports. Yeah.
Tell us about your job.
All right. So I have the esteemed pleasure. I always say I have the best job at the paper because I don't have to cover a team full time as a beat reporter normally does. I get to roam. I get to come up with sort of wacky off the beaten path ideas. I'm a backup when I have to. So I get to cover all the sports. Texans, Rockets, Astros. Covered the World Series last year. I was here in LA for it. I mean, it was a real special time. And what I like about the work that I get to do is, you know, I kind of look for an excuse as often as possible to write as little about the sport, as little about the game, right? You try to do something tangential where
I'm back in
a bigger thing. Yeah, exactly. What, no, but for real, it is for somebody like you.
What got you onto the podcast and Gina and March Gradness?
Well, I mean, it's obvious what got me on the Gina.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mark, it's that necklace from Mark Garagos.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Were you listening to the podcast before?
It's a cool story in that I was a reporter abroad in South Africa in 2010. And my roommate at the time, who was a fellow student journalist, he says, yeah, I think you'd really like this podcast. I didn't even know really what podcasts were. I was listening to Bill Simmons at the time, Mark Maron, some of the early, you know, pioneers like yourself. And I was immediately hooked. So it's been, you know, since 2010.
What's going on in South Africa these days? I haven't heard a lot other than it's not going that great.
No, not at all. No, it's terrible.
What's terrible? What's going on?
Well, the president they had, a guy named Jacob Zuma, who's a part of the African National Congress there, turned out to not be a great president and not work in the interest of the people.
Uh-huh.
Shocking, I know.
Should the white farmers be scared, or ranchers or whatever, landowners be scared?
Well, in truth, they should have probably not started all the shit first.
Right.
So, and they might have had all this coming. But it's more than that. It's just that it's a problem that we see all over the continent, too. Certainly the sub-Saharan part of the continent, where you just don't have great governance.
Yeah. I always hear, when I talk to, I always talk about corruption and about how that ruins. That it's invisible. It's kind of, I mean, it feels innocuous because it doesn't feel, corruption doesn't feel like a burning tire around a guy or a machete, someone being chased, but probably does more damage than the machete or the burning tire does because it's completely pervasive.
Yeah, it's also a huge distraction from the infrastructure that needs to go on in places like that. You know, like that, it's like the basic thing that any place like South Africa needs is to be connected to other countries, to be interconnected to every city. And when the infrastructure sucks in a place like that, you have people isolated in poverty.
How'd you get from that to sports?
I went to school for journalism, and I always wanted to write about sports. But the truth is, when I was in school, I never, ever wrote about sports. It's why I kind of have this blend of writing now about bigger themes, bigger stories that don't, you know, necessarily have to do with what happened in the game.
Mm. He's redefining the word.
Yeah, evolve the definition.
Sports. So let's see if we can define this date.
Yeah.
What is, I notice you have no cheat sheets in front of you.
Don't need it.
Oh.
Adam?
I like that.
Right here.
Right here. He's pointing at his cock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he
or
may be
could have been cock and balls.
He may be serenading me.
He may be serenading.
Don't spill all the beans.
Oh, I'm just looking. Oh, sorry. He's already mad at me. Oh, God. What have I done?
Boy.
I have to put out.
He hasn't picked you up yet.
So what is... Are we starting at the start of the date?
Yeah.
All right. You brought your acoustic guitar. You know Chevy Van? You know that song?
No, but I've lived that life. Yeah. Unfortunately, I was on the other end of the song.
You're on the losing end. You're the one who was barefoot.
Dropped
and
barefoot
out of the van.
In Houston.
Just laying there like a princess.
Yeah.
So how does the evening start or the date start?
Well, so I'm a passionate, devoted foodie, as you saw in the video.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to respect your no sugar, no grain lifestyle.
Really? Because I don't. But that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I will eat all the beef and sugar and grain that we come across. But picked out a cute Italian spot.
Oh. My favorite.
And I made sure they had some branzino and chicken on the menu. Don't worry about it.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So we'll do that.
I like branzino.
And, that type of monkey?
Sure. Monkey fish.
So much I don't know.
No. It's really good.
Yeah. No. And obviously that'll be a fun opportunity to converse. Drink some wine.
Will mm-hmm. you fillet my branzino?
Wow.
Gulp.
I don't want to do it.
Do we have to be in a Chevy van? Or?
What do you order? You get the, how do we do the chicken?
Well, I would say it's a Tuscan style restaurant, right? So it's mm-hmm. going to be, you know, simple. You got rosemary, lemon.
Mm-hmm. It's like we're there now.
Yeah. I got to tell you though, Adam. The chicken's not what this place is about. It's hardcore pasta. That's everything. So I plan, I'm a big gnocchi guy, love a good dumpling. So gnocchi al forno, that's where I'm going.
And what is the ride? Where you're from Houston, obviously, you didn't drive here. Did you rent a car? Did we go on Uber? What are we doing?
Yeah, I got a sweet red rental outside. Maybe you've heard of it, a Toyota Corolla.
The family business.
I got to say, you know when you used to do, or when you used to do, when... Craig Kilborn was on. He'd do this weird game show thing in the middle of like three answers
five
or
questions.
Something, or five questions or whatever it is. And because there's something wrong with my wiring, it would always be something to do with you or something to do with ever. And he's like, it's a mid-sized Japanese automobile. And I was like, Nissan Sentra. He was like, one of the best-selling Toyotas in the world. Like, Toyota, Camry.
Celica.
Camry, Celica. It's like, I wouldn't say my own name. I think it's a bad wiring, right? Like a low self-esteem.
Studious. But it's a good omen that I rented one for this
trip. It is a very powerful omen.
I'm sorry to pause the date so quickly, Adam.
Yes.
Should they, we confer on your decisions, your choices. Should he not go for an Uber if they're going out for, you know, they're going out, they're going to have a glass of wine.
I can hold my liquor. I got this, bro.
Oh.
Famous last words. Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but buzz driving is drunk driving.
I've seen the signs.
Yeah, no, I know it. I plan on it.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian, that's a pretty good point.
Yeah. You know, you sit in the back, you can make but conversation while someone else drives.
I do like a man who can handle his liquor. Mm-hmm. I got this.
At the same time, I had anticipated between the two of us, we would be gabbing so much that we're not going to be eight drinks deep.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we work our way together through one bottle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not a big drinker, so.
Talk to the restaurant.
Okay. Sugar.
And
oh my God, it's my song.
Now, are you ordering for Gina?
Absolutely not. It's 2018, Adam.
All right, just checking where you're at.
I'm paying, but I'm not ordering.
Oh. Now, what time do you think we wrap it up around the restaurant?
Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 p.m. Sounds mm-hmm. good. You know, it's because that's when the crowd, like you have, you know, sort of the posh night crowd.
Mm-hmm. What's the plan after the restaurant?
After that, Gina, do you have a dog right now?
I don't.
Oh. That's okay, because we still can go through for a nice walk along the pier. I think it would be nice.
Oh, that would be great. I like to play with other people's dogs.
Well, we can accost them, and if you want one of them, I will get it for you.
You'll steal somebody else's dog for me?
You'll
that's
make right. an
it's yours.
Oh, my God. That'll be alcohol fueled.
I thought of a killer app. Instead of all these assholes traveling with their dogs, we give you a dog when you arrive.
Now you're
that's
talking.
That's awesome. Yeah. Date dog.
All these people just want a dog to travel with, and they got to pull on the fucking airplane. But let's just supply you with a dog. I'll just have an app.
That's good.
Pups up. And it'll just hit it, and we'll, you know, you gotta go. You went like a rental car. You went small, midsize, like economy, luxury.
Sorry. We know you wanted a midsize, but we only have a giant.
We cut to the commercial for Date Dog. Where are you going, bro? You're looking sharp.
Pups up. I mean, Date Dog. I mean, so a walk on the pier.
I do.
Yeah,
love that.
I'm an East Coast guy, so there's a lot of the West Coast I don't know much about. I only know most of it from your complaints. So to be honest, but the Santa Monica Pier. You've actually touted it. I've heard you say good things about it before. You're furrowing your brow right now to suggest I'm wrong.
No, it's good.
The junkies there are more charismatic.
Yeah, yeah.
The pier, there's really nothing better than it's a huge wood structure that goes into the ocean.
Yeah. Like, it's fun, it lights up with
amusement park.
It's got a Ferris wheel.
Dipping dots.
Bumper cars on it. Mm. You cannot go wrong.
And I do appreciate the second location not being a bar. Mm-hmm. Because that's a little played out for the second location.
Also, mm-hmm. I want something a little more intimate, I think.
I like that. You know?
What happens when you get to the end of the pier?
I got to feel it out, Adam. I can't telegraph what moves I'm going to go with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there's a gazing
moment
in the Pacific.
Beneath the smog and haze, you know, a half moon, barely visible.
Mm-hmm.
The glow of it on Gina and her necklace.
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know. Hopefully, I've been funny enough at that point to where, you know, we engender trust. And then maybe we have a, you know, share a romantic send-off of things.
How big a role does comedy play, Gina Grand?
Well, I know that every woman says this, but I swear to God, I'm not lying. It is an aphrodisiac. Not when you're pushing. Not when you're, you know, tap dancing, but just a genuine way you see the world kind of making me laugh. I will initiate sex.
Really?
Yeah.
Brian, you're funny. You feel like
it's the first time you ever get that drop.
Turned out to be well,
first
technically, has it been an aphrodisiac in your experience?
Not in seventh grade.
No. Oh God, no. No. I mean, maybe I'm too stupid to have picked up on the signals, but I don't think that ever led. That was my, you know, leading characteristic.
Well, here's the deal. A certain kind of comedy is directly linked to confidence, and chicks dig that.
I gotta say, you know, I'm usually fast to poo-poo these points as it pertains to the turn-ons and the playmate centerfold and that kind of stuff. But my dad is physically, you know, a one, and financially... He owes you money and never had a ride, never had a house, never had any swagger, never had any game at all, and was able to bag a few chicks like along the way. Not my mom. She doesn't count, right. But after they separated, like he kind of did okay in the lady department with a guy who had nothing to offer.
The trumpet, Adam.
The flugelhorn.
The man has his flugel. He brings that shiny sumbitch out.
Yeah.
But then when he opens a spit valve and blows it out on the carpet, it's a weird thing.
It's a mixed message.
People treat that spit valve like livestock auctioneer treats dip. You know, they just like, you know, just pow. Just like,
part of the brand. Hey,
hello, there are people who live in this house and like are watching. Or like, you can't just blow it out onto the floor.
Yeah.
But he had a little bit of a sense of humor.
Goes a long way, clearly.
And I guess so. I think that the sense of humor, I'd like to drill down for a second here. I think what we're, here's how it works. It's not being funny and telling jokes. It's using the sense of humor intellect to sort of come across as somebody who's sort of well-versed and well-traveled and sort of 100%. Knows and whatever it is. It's not telling jokes.
Oh, God, or, please.
Well, no, but or even just being funny. It's a kind of a...
It's a way you see the world.
Yeah, and you also, there's a certain like sincerity and a certain tuned in and a certain whatever.
How about the value of intimacy too? You get somebody laughing.
That's true.
Right? That's
they go in for lots of arm touches.
I'm
so taking funny. Yeah.
Are we just going to breeze over the part where Gina said she would initiate sex?
Yeah, if.
Well, you got to be funny.
Yeah, if you're funny.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
Screwed.
And I know, this is if you want in. I would also appreciate if you thought I was funny. I don't want you to be a dancing clown for my entertainment. Mm-hmm. I'd like to give and take the interaction.
Well, you're the star of the show, Gina.
Oh, God, I love you.
How would a conversation go at dinner?
Garcon.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Already embarrassed.
Yes, what can I get you, sir?
One of your finest, most affordable red wines.
It's kind of an oxymoron, but I'll look and talk to our sommelier and get it back to
you. Let me just give you a wink and you'll know what that means.
Okay, can do.
Are you going to play a song for us, Hunter?
I would love to. And by the way, I mean, it's for Gina.
Right, I mean for Gina, not for us.
Yeah, not for you.
All right, I'd like to hear that song.
The Royal.
Can we set up the mic? We got the acoustic guitar.
Okay.
So everything went well. I want to see your place. You got a nice loft we've already seen. I'd love to see what all the fuss is about. Oh, my God. You have a guitar in the corner. Do you play?
I dabble.
Oh, wow. Well, usually I hate when dudes play the guitar, but I'm interested in you.
Why would you
that.
Usually hate that, Gina?
Because they're all usually bad and they use it as a point. They just want to show off. They want to pretend they're a rock star for 5 minutes. It's not about being good or caring about what the girl wants to hear. They just want to put
Brian.
On a concert.
Hey, what's up?
Do you have a laundry list of turnoffs? Like, I hate it when a chick tries too hard.
Yeah. Tip number one, the only one on my list is not breathing.
Yeah.
And after that, it's all pretty negotiable.
I have a blank list of things that do's and don'ts for chicks who I want to fuck.
Tucking your shirts in.
Before, stinky pussy is like a big thing for you.
Oh,
yeah, stinky pussy is a big...
Is that the name of the song?
I love that from Friends.
Yeah, Phoebe's crooning it.
Yes. All right, Hunter, you ready to go?
Hold on.
Gina.
Oh yes.
We're gonna try to dial in your mic.
It's not you.
Sorry, we set this up.
And
before.
I promise I won't say that to you on the date. He's getting that ready.
We got an effects pedal going on here, Chris. All
right. Now remember, Hunter was the one that in his initial letter to me, it was just riddled and laced with Dolly Parton references. So the guy cares. He gets me as a good sense of humor, and he's actually paying attention, which, again, real panty dropper.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just going to play a snippet. You know, we don't go through the whole thing. Just a little taste, and it's a local artist from Houston. Maybe you've heard of her. Complicated name. It's like Bianchi or
Beyonce?
You've heard of her. Great. Perfect. Well, this is a song by her. And if you know the words... Don't jump in. Let me. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Hunter, the song's not too long, is it?
We're just going to do a snippet, Adam.
Just a snippet.
And I've been rehearsing.
Okay.
If you want to look in my eyes, too, we can
I'm
do
all
that.
Ears. I'm,
this is all
I'm
less
all
work
eyes.
For you. And just let him do his thing.
Yeah, this defines masculinity now.
Okay.
Redefine.
In the darkest night, I it's all that I see. Giving you everything. Lovely lights are out.
Oh my God!
Oh, so good.
If you're wearing those Tommy John panties. The ones that rip away moisture.
Oh my God, so necessary. That was amazing.
Now, question. Is it for Gina, question.
Yeah.
When he sings a song about, you know, loving you so much, is it coming on too strong in the first day?
No, I like
it's
it.
It's a very sweet song.
You know what? He did something diabolical.
Which was?
Choose a female singer. So it wasn't creepy. It was like, everybody loves Beyonce. Of course she's going to love this. Oh, by the way. Underlying message,
mm-hmm.
by the way,
about getting it on.
Hunter sounds good.
Oh man, that was awesome.
We had you to, and me and my Chevy van.
We had to run and adjust the volume on the mic, but sounded good.
I would say
plays wow. good.
Well
sings
done.
I can do a private performance for you, Adam. Later, don't
please.
Worry about
it. He's such a Renaissance man.
All right, let me take care of a little business here, and then we'll wrap it down with Hunter over here first. Zoom.us, flawless video, clear audio, and instant sharing across any device. Desktop, laptop, tablet, or mobile device. Striking HD video. 25 people live on the screen at once. Share anything from any device. Word files, spreadsheets, videos from YouTube, photos from your phone, whatever you like. I actually was talking to these guys, and they pulled up a YouTube thing of me doing stand-up that I didn't even know existed. That's how good this technology is. You can even set up a green screen and create a backdrop for your client's logo or some exotic location. If you like, visit zoom.us. You can set up your free account today. It's free. Meet happy with Zoom Video Communications. Again, it's all free. You can set up your free account today at zoom.us. That is zoom.us. All right, let's see. What do we got here? Hunter?
Yes, Adam.
Just because I got to get on with my life here. And, you know, I'm interested in you and Gina, but...
But you're more interested in you and me. I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
more interested in us.
Adam, I do have one surprise plan for you.
Please.
So...
Adam's not coming on a date, is he?
That would be a dream. Oh, no, no one in the studio realizes that I've been here before, and... I've been on two shows before. Ooh. Adam's face doesn't ring a bell by any chance. I know that Dr. Drew does that with you and Sean Green and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
that
no, is his move.
I will tell you, and I was hoping to see a sign.
Oh my
sign.
God, it's Rachel Perry.
I missed that crap.
I was hoping to see a sign in the studio that signified that I was here. We did a Forbes cover story together about Newman Racing in 2014.
Yes.
We spent a beautiful morning and afternoon together listening to the roar and hum of one of Paul Newman's race cars.
Yes.
You got it's really salt. Mad at Matt D'Andrea because a piece of fuel the size of a gum like wad was basically right above the wheel, and that set you off. That was great.
Piece of fuel?
Like, or like a drop? I apologize. It looked like something greasy, essentially.
Mm,
it was
that could be me.
You sure it was Adam?
Mm-hmm.
But it was great, and it was actually one of the real great thrills of my career. Not necessarily because, you know, I got to work with a celebrity, but it was because I managed to meld my profession and my fandom to do a really fun piece of journalism. And
it's all coming back to me now. I think it may even be framed up at the other warehouse. Yeah, now it's all coming back. There you go, Hunter.
And I was so grateful that I managed to vault all of the other men after your heart, Gina, by merit. By effort.
By merit, absolutely.
It was not because any single person here that I've met and talked to all day, every time shaking hands and saying, pleasure to meet you. Yeah, nice to meet you. Yeah, great. Have you on a tour around the place? I've never seen it. I'd love to. So
that's
it's
amazing.
Been a fun experience for me.
You see, for me, everything is sort of context. Like, hey, it's a guy who won the contest. He's flying in from Houston. I filed you under. I've never seen you before
because
or never see you again.
Yeah.
Well, when are you going to write another article about me? Screw Gina, by the way.
I would love to.
I mean, screw Gina.
Let's get you.
And write the article about Adam.
Adam, we just got to do a live show in Houston.
Mm.
And I could find a really good reason to plug it then, and we could write about it then.
Have we done a live show in Houston?
No, you didn't have a great experience. I've recalled you speaking about
that's
it before.
That's the scariest. I went to, there was a comedy club.
The Improv is there.
Well, there was a club that was next to the world's biggest bar in Houston. It was this huge bad mall of the literally the world's biggest bar. That's okay. what it was called. And the stand-up club was a like rainforest themed restaurant that
awesome.
That the woman had spent like hundreds of thousands of dollars on the railings and the floor and the tapestries and everything like that, and it went under.
Gina, date number two.
And then like the comedy club bought it, but it's never good to be doing comedy like in a former Pizza Hut or whatever, yeah. whatever that I've yeah. done that before. You're clearly, it's clearly a themed restaurant, right. but now they put a stage and yeah. a PA in it. And it was like a dicey part of town. And because it shared a mall with the world's biggest bar, folks didn't want to go out there and then be accosted by drunken people in the parking lot, yeah. like when they were done with the show and stuff. And I think the whole thing just sort of went under.
Are you familiar with this bar, Hunter?
Yes, and.
Okay. Yes, and. This is
Hunter's spot.
We have to think of the name of this place.
He walked in like Norm from Hunter.
Was it the Rainforest Cafe? They have those everywhere. It's like a chain.
It was that in theme, but I don't remember if it was the chain part. Okay. But it was a weird place to do comedy.
The point is, you hear that, Houston fans, Adam Carolla's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam Carolla's coming.
He remembers you well.
All right, Hunter, I will ask you to adjourn to... first off, there's 80 pounds of Mediterranean food that you must consume over there.
You and I are going to mow through that in about a half hour.
Oh, l'chaim.
Yep. Gina, does he get a second pretend date?
He gets a second real date over by the Cuba Day and the kofta on the counter.
And you guys are welcome.
Hunter.
Or not.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was amazing. You're amazing, Hunter.
I'm not kidding. You had 80 pounds worth of food.
Or no date.
All right. Should we take a quick break and then come back and do some news with Gina Graham?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, today's show host Matt Lauer has nearly finalized his divorce, and it could cost him $50 million. A source told Us Weekly, quote, Matt is furious he's handing over half his net worth to Annette Roque. Yep. He could fight for a better deal, but that would only drag this out. An internal NBC investigation discovered that Matt had sex in his office. He also sexted colleagues, bought sex toys for women in the hopes they'd let him watch. Annette Roque will take their Long Island horse farm, a massive estate in the Hamptons worth about $25 million. Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but Matt Lauer's had a good look, mm-hmm. you know, and the ladies loved him. But these guys who don't do anything, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
You don't bring anything to the table. I have no...
How many Matt Lauers are there in the world? Guys who are capable of doing that.
Well, evidently, it's infinite because whenever they fire him, nothing happens. It's not like, boy, there's a hole in my heart now. Mm-hmm. I miss my Matt Lauer in the morning. I miss guys who have no opinions on what's going on in the world.
So like Phil Hartman leaving the world. Like, oh, there literally will never be another Phil Hartman. It's
right. My kind of
long line.
My take is, you know, if you're Mike Judge and you like create a bunch mm-hmm. of shit, God bless you, or you're Seth MacFarlane, or you're Howard Stern, or you don't tell jokes, but you're Elon Musk or something. But these just kind of good-looking guys who look good in a suit, and their claim to fame is not putting on weight mm-hmm. and just sort of sitting there and then looking concerned when it's time to look concerned.
Tone.
And, you know, someone goes, as a survivor of breast cancer, man, and then you go, I understand. Serious and then you work in some anecdote about, you know, my aunt had was passing breast cancer. And then you throw the commercial. And then when we come back, you set something else up. Al Roker's here. He's coming up with the news. We have more survivors. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You never really say anything that anyone ever has to repeat or wants to repeat or goes, fucking write that down. That's some good shit or whatever. You just fucking sit there. And now you evidently have amassed $100 million worth of net worth. And you're pissed?
No.
I'm pissed. Fuck you. You don't do anything. And here's the thing. If you did something, you could get back to doing it. Mm-hmm. So you're paid way too much to do nothing. You can't tell Elon Musk or Mike Judge or any of those guys, you're out.
Right. They're too valuable.
You can't stop them. It's like saying, Leonardo, no more painting or no more inventing or no more innovating. No more. No, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do it from home. Maybe I won't be on camera. Maybe I'll whatever. But you can't.
Right.
Can't stop me from writing or creating or whatever.
Also, Matt what's Lauer, a camera?
You stop. Sorry. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Also, what's a camera?
Right.
Yeah. Matt Lauer is an usher. And we have other ushers.
Right. Well, they're totally replaceable because they get replaced. They just go right to the next dude. Hey, Carson Daly, come in and sit down and you just do what they did.
Drop the sex toys.
Yeah. Just come on in, sit down. We don't care.
Also, maybe I'm not the right age to think of Matt Lauer that way, but I can't imagine him in a sexual situation. He doesn't see. Right.
He probably benefited from that a lot.
Exactly my point. That you're hiding in plain sight because Matt Lauer is Matt Lauer. He's not. You don't think of like, you mean the smoldering Matt Lauer?
Yeah.
Your entire rap is you don't put on weight. You don't say anything that would ever make anyone think about anything good or bad. And then you get paid a shitload of money. And somebody figured out, why do we give you $20 million a year again?
You can nod slowly and look concerned.
Right. Unless there's something that I'm missing about Matt Lauer, but I don't feel like I am. It's just there.
Yeah, I'm 99.9% sure that this is who he was talking about.
His wife probably hasn't done jack squat either. So what the fuck? She getting $50 million?
Half. She gets half.
Found fortune.
Yeah. I think Howard Stern told a story recently about that they're good buddies and they got out to lunch and what a great guy he is. And I imagine he is a great guy in a lot of ways because he wouldn't have been able to be America's sweetheart if he wasn't.
I think his biggest strength, along with not gaining weight and all that stuff, appeal. He is an appealing, he's an appealing guy to a lot of people.
But not soundbite.
I get it. But again, the fact that, I don't know, he made more money than Robin Williams, I don't know. Like, Robin Williams, I've never been a huge Robin Williams fan, but definitely respect there's a talented, immensely talented guy, or Dave Matthews, or whoever. Like, I don't begrudge anybody who invents something, does something, sings something, does it. I just don't feel like Matt Lauer's done jack shit. All right.
Maybe
jack shit with half of what he had before. Yep.
Well, the television home of the beloved sitcom The Brady Bunch is for sale.
Oh, 1.8 million?
I was going to have you guess. I'll tell you, do you know what they bought it for originally?
Shoot a TV show in? Oh, what they bought it for.
Yep.
I'll
give you a little background while you think about it. It's 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. It was, of course, used for all the exterior shots.
How did all those kids? Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is the interior anything like the interior of the?
Who knows?
I wonder how many square feet that place is.
I know how much it is.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Where'd it go? Ah, shit. Hold on. Is it 1,500? Now it's not on here. I'm sorry. I might have deleted it. I don't know why.
Seems really small.
They'll double check because that doesn't sound right. So the show ran from 1969 to 1974. It has maintained meticulously its 70s feel. It has old intercoms in it. It has the classic carpeting. And that does sound right. Is it 3,500 square feet? Which one?
2,500.
All right. And
give or take.
It is listed at 1.8 million. Back in 1973, how much do you think it was purchased for?
Where is it? Point of information.
Studio City.
Oh. Studio City. 1973?
Yeah.
73.
Yeah.
$61,000.
Well, a little higher, say 70, but yeah, 2-bedroom house in the valley. Yeah, 70,000.
Adam's a little too good.
Oh.
On the nose. Oh. $61,000.
Oh, my.
Are you shitting me?
I am not.
Show me your tits. Look at that. I'm pointing at my dick.
That's $61,000.
Gergis doing the hand grab thing. Doing the Franken hand grab thing.
$61,000. On the nose.
Some random number, by the way, to say, too. All right.
There you go.
I did not look at it or talk. I talked to Baby Doll Dixon earlier today, who just went, hey, baby, the Brady Bunch house is for sale for 1.8.
You didn't scour through an article.
I didn't get the beginning price, though.
That's impressive.
That is good.
Very impressive.
Thank me.
Well, Harvey Weinstein has asked a judge to dismiss a lawsuit Ashley Judd brought against him. The actress sued the mogul in April, claiming he had her blacklisted in Hollywood after she rebuffed his advances. According to Variety, Weinstein's attorney argued in the motion to dismiss that, quote, his alleged conduct did not amount to sexual harassment and that Judd's allegations are barred by the statute of limitations. Ashley said she learned of her blacklisting in December when director Peter Jackson.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Back to Brady.
Okay.
Give me Sherwood Schwartz's IMDb.
He's but the best.
I am going to go ahead and lump Sherwood Schwartz Sid and Marty Krofft in annals of they're the Matt Lauer of TV producers, which is you're going to have to just get down to like the Gilligan's Islands and the Brady Bunch. And then they always have like the very Brady Christmas and the robots go up against the Harlem Globetrotters and all that kind of stuff. It's a fucking hack. Like in a world where there's competition, there is no Sherwood Schwartz. The Brady Bunch was fucking horrible. Like, it was just big sound, big laugh tracks and nothing funny. And the biggest jokes in the Brady Bunch would be Greg Brady would come in and it'd be like a 70s thing and he'd be like, hey, I got some new threads. Can you dig it, Alice? And Alice would go, threads far up. And then everyone would laugh. And then they'd go, bah, bah, and then he'd leave. There was no fucking storyline. There's no way. I mean, Sherwood Schwartz is a fucking hack, like a wild hack who, if he was alive today and in his prime, you'd never fucking hear of because you got to go do battle with Crashing and I'm Dying Up Here and mm-hmm. Sacha Baron Cohen mm-hmm. and the aforementioned Mike Judd. And you got to go, Seth MacFarlane, you got to figure out a way to beat out Seth MacFarlane. You better be funnier than the fucking Family Guy. But no competition.
Mike and Carol would have to be cooking meth in their house, right. Not telling the kids.
There's nothing. And so you want to know why these guys had these amazing careers. Like everything I did went right on TV.
Turned
and
to gold.
And then all of a sudden, it stopped. And it never came back. Mm-hmm. It never came back because you were horrible the whole time. You were like a guy who thought he was a great athlete but never got back into the league because
before they integrated the league.
Yeah, before they integrated the league with funny. His fucking shit was so horrible, but you kind of had to watch it because there was nothing else on. And the only thing they did after this, like Sid and Marty Krofft, is went back and warmed over the shit they did in the 70s. There was nothing new they ever created. Fucking bankrupt, and those guys made millions and millions of dollars and lived great lives.
Yeah.
And the creative fucking hacks. I'll see you in hell.
Oh, I've never seen an episode of anything he's done.
Good.
I've seen every episode Bullet of Brady Bunch. More than once.
Is and fucking Sid and Marty Krofft and one of them dead?
Sid and Marty.
That was my greatest moment.
What's the name of that puppet that they'd carry around in the flyer, the red wagon?
The Sigmund and the Sea Monster.
Oh yeah, the Sea Monster.
I got to tell you, like one of my greatest. If you want to like an Adam Carolla moment, the most Adam's ever been is
peak Adam
on the lot at like CBS Radford and Alan. Oh God, he's I think of his name. Anyway, our showrunner. It was like Mr. Showbiz. Like I've run. Great guy. He's passed away. Very sad. But he Bo's still alive. This guy was like his. Oh, shit. Let me come up with his. His dad was. No, his dad was a famous comedian. Who took a last name. It was like Joey, not Joey Bishop, but I'll think of it. I'll think of it in a second. Anyway, he's Mr. sort of menschy, Jewy, worked on everything, knows everybody. And at a certain point, we were walking to the commissary, and he's like, you know whose office that is? And I'm like, who? And he's like, Sid and Marty Krofft. And I'm like, oh. And, you know, Sid's in there, and I'm a personal friend of his. I could introduce you to Sid of Sid and Marty Krofft. And I was like, fuck that guy. And he's like, he's like, he's show business royalty. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to meet that guy. I was like, he's a fucking hack. He's the worst. This, all those guys did was ruin everyone's fucking childhood with their garbage. No, I'm not going to go pay homage to that guy. He's a fucking retarded hack. And he's like, so you just want to go eat? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I don't want to fucking near that office. I feel like if I set foot in his office, I'd be 10 percentage points less funny just by being in that fucking hack's presence.
Can't chance it.
Can't want to chance it. Yeah.
That's a power move.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Let's see. Oh, God.
What show?
Well, he was on our pilot when you discovered your brain tumor.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to think of his dad's name. His dad was a famous, you know, comedian of the day. And it was like a Sammy Shore, but it was back when guys had their last names. And I'm trying to, so he had, Alan had a different last name. And
keep
I'm
the
trying
Steins
to
and the Bergs
do all
to
the
dull
math
roar.
There. I'll tell you what, right, exactly. Yeah. Like, once we find out you're Jewish, you can't be funny, get back to the coal mine. Like, wait a minute. You're Jewish, you should be a Mason. Yeah. Not Jackie Mason. You shouldn't be telling jokes.
Free
you should
Mason.
Be doing manual labor. Now stack those pallets. Are you kidding? I'm like, Jewish, put down that pitchfork and get the fuck on stage. I like the idea that I'm Jewish, I can't fit in show business.
Yeah, that's good.
Simpler times, right?
Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm. God, I'm going to think of this guy's last name. Anyway, you pull up the pantheon of, like, 50s comedians. Jackie, mm-hmm. All right, I'll tell you about Castrol Edge, and then we'll figure this out. Tech advances have made engines smaller and more powerful, and they're working harder, and they're under a lot of pressure, and that's why you need Castrol Edge. They've collaborated with Electronic Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer. Inspired by the need for speed, video games, you'll find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior. It's a really cool video. It's free. It's easy. You just hop online and check it out. Find out who has the superior skills. And you can see for yourself. Go to Castrol USA YouTube page. Castrol Edge can deliver even under the most demanding driving circumstances, and you can watch this video. Again, it's free, it's cool, it's fast. I've seen it a couple times. Kind of educational, whether you're into cars or not. Check it out. Go to Castrol USA YouTube page and check that out. All right, what else we got?
Well, I just want to finish telling you how Ashley Judd learned of her blacklisting. Oh. This is it's some hot gossip.
Blacklisted?
Yes, when she rebuffed Weinstein's advances. Apparently, director Peter Jackson, you know, Lord of the Rings fame, claimed that Weinstein had engaged in a smear campaign against Judd and Mira Sorvino to keep them out of the Lord of the Rings movies. Weinstein allegedly said Judd was a nightmare to work with. His attorneys contend that even if he did say that, it's an opinion, therefore not defamatory. Mm. They also argue that Weinstein's alleged sexual conduct was not harassment because it was not severe or pervasive. Judd's attorney called Weinstein's arguments offensive.
This is good news for any actress of that era who stopped working for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Sean Young's got to get on this.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
this
yeah.
is like, oh, no, I Harvey Weinstein. That's why I stopped working.
I got Weinstein.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's now plausible why you're unhirable in Hollywood
Absolutely.
Anymore, other than being insane like Sean.
You listening, Lily Sobieski?
Whatever happened to her?
That's what I'm saying. Weinstein got to her.
Lily.
Yeah, she's going to be missed. God, I'm trying to think of this guy's name. Joey, the stand-up's name. I'm trying to think. He had like Italian-sounding thing. Oh, God. It's going to drive me nuts.
What a Fuco.
How did you know his son again? What was...
He was a showrunner on Alan...
Joey Bishop?
No, I already said that.
Mm. Oh. Joey Lewis.
Nah, you got to give me. He had a God. He had. I remember things in sort of bits and pieces. There's. He had a last name that sort of sounded like something. It wasn't. Had a name that was like an activity or something, and some sort of Italian or something. I have to think of it. But there are about 20 guys from that era. He's not Milton Berle. You know what I mean? He's lower. He opened for Milton, but. He's one of those guys that you would recognize from back in that that day, but go ahead.
Well, a proposal to split California into three separate states will not make it to the state's November ballot after all. A California Supreme Court judge ruled Wednesday that the proposition should be removed from the ballot over questions about its validity. The measure proposed splitting California into California, Northern California, and Southern California. Venture capitalist Tim Draper, who wrote the proposal, insists that splitting up the state would improve infrastructure, education, and also lower taxes. It's not over yet. The proposal could still end up on future ballots. I was kind of excited about this.
I kind of am. I think.
It sounds like it's what everybody wants.
Well, here's the thing, I think. I like anything that creates a little competition. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of, you know, I'm not relishing picking up and moving to Texas and shacking up with Hunter in a few years. But I think that's just the way the wind is blowing. Right. At a certain point, just because of the taxes right. and many other elements, everyone who has a business and makes over X amount just going to end up in Texas. And I don't really want to do that, but it's just it's the way it's going. But I would rather Northern and Southern California compete a little for my business, mm-hmm. like for my tax dollars, you know, give me a little incentive to stay here. Give me a little break on the, property taxes, you know, maybe a couple points lower over here.
Businesses
and stuff like that. And school systems as well. Just sort of in general, let's have a little competition.
Yeah, the LAUSD.
I think one of the things that California suffers because I've always said it's the hot blonde in high school that doesn't have to study and his phone's always ringing on a Friday night. There's always a date. It's never sitting home, bored and alone, you know, pining or anything. And now she's getting some crow's feet and a little bit older. And think Daryl Hannah in a tree.
Okay.
Done.
That's no good.
So. But she's now, she has no training. Like, she didn't study when she should have been studying. She didn't have life skills. She's still kind of waiting around, but the phone's not really ringing so much anymore. And that's what I think of California. Because it's like, come on, we got the ocean right here, and we got PCH, and where are you going? Come on, you're going up the Sequoias up there, see the redwoods, and then
ski in the sunset the same day.
And because of that, we kind of go, we don't have to try that hard. We charge what we want in taxes.
Who would ever leave us?
Schools don't have to be that good. And eventually, people do leave and will leave. And I feel like our government and the powers that be and the legislators and all that's going on is all loosely, they don't say it. Well, they do once in a while, but they're loosely based on where are you going? Arkansas? Come on. It's California, baby. Right. But it'd be nice if you had a little fire in your belly about the schools and the taxes and the infrastructure and the rest of the stuff. And there's no way California should be where we are on education and where we are with the infrastructure and where we are with the taxes and the gas taxes and everything. And then just the potholes and the bridges and the roads. Like, we shouldn't be bringing up the rear with almost everything, but it makes sense because we don't try.
Yeah. And you know who called our bluff? Atlanta.
Atlanta. And look, the people that I say, you know, cry the loudest about, hey, pay your fair share, the first people on an airplane to Canada, to Prague Republic, to Atlanta, Atlanta's setting up whole movie studios, and Tyler Perry's going nuts over there.
Louisiana, too, for movies,
All right. True. Sorry, what else? What's that comedian's name?
Come on. Still looking.
Just give me the names.
All right, hold on.
How? What are you looking for? You're never going to see it.
Well, I'm trying to find the showrunner's name because there's like a bunch of comedians, but they're all really big names, and I don't think it's like a
That was his
Jackie
dad.
Something.
Jackie Gleason.
No. Yeah, that's what I'm talking.
I mean, no, Jackie look, see, that's why I didn't give you any
Jackie Vernon.
I don't think, but they're all big comedians. His dad.
Jackie Martling.
No. What are the comedians' names?
I'll read the top 50 here. Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin, Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, Groucho Marx, Milton Burrow, Sid Caesar, Moe and Larry from Three Stooges, Jack Benny, Lucille Ball, George Burns, Bud Abbott, Lou Costello, Jackie Gleason, Art Carney, Lenny Bruce, Spike Milligan, Peter
Spike
Sellers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where IMDb ends for comedians of the 50s.
All right. Well, you got to start from the 50 and go down or something. It's going to drive me nuts, but I'll figure it out.
And it's not Jackie Vernon? Verone?
No, I don't think it's Jackie Vernon.
You said it was a verb of some kind?
I don't know. I just have this sort of vague recollection of Italian. Huh. I'll figure it out. It'll kind of make sense when you hear it.
I want this just as bad as you do now. Yeah, don't worry.
I know. We'll find it. I'll tell you about Geico and buy you a little bit of time. Was it? I think Alan's last name was Kirschenbaum, so that'll make it easier to find now.
That Italian boy.
It's going to be, you're going to get angry and it'll be super satisfying at the same time. Geico, man, everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add saving some money on your auto insurance at geico.com. You go to the computer there, you fire it up, you go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more.
The name Kirschbaum would help a lot.
We all got it at the same time.
You can save 15% or more on your auto insurance by going to Geico. Put that extra money in your pocket at geico.com. What was this comedian dad's name?
And I know why you think it was a verb.
Freddie Roman.
Freddie Roman. Roman.
Italian and a verb.
I've been Roman all over this land.
I'm rambling and Roman.
Freddie Roman was his name, yeah. That's all the Jackies and the Freddies and the everything. And I remember something Italian, like an Italian restaurant.
Roman's pretty Italian.
Yes, that's how my mind works. Rome, yeah. Rome.
It's a verb.
What the? I wonder where Freddie Roman falls out on the top. You know, whatever list of comedians. He was a pretty famous guy back in the day. Yeah.
Borscht Belt guy.
Yeah. Then probably ended up Vegas early
still
on.
Still alive.
So. Is Freddie Roman still alive?
81 years old. He's born in 1937. We just saw him. I think we all saw the documentary, The Last Laugh, about the, wait, what was that one about? We saw that one. I know I saw that one. Sorry.
Well, wait, this makes sense now. His son, so he's the same exact age as Sid and Marty Croft, so he's probably friend of dad's, right?
Probably.
So, and it's all coming together.
Yeah. Thank God I didn't go to those pariah's offices. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's do one more.
All right. Well, CNN reports that the University of North Carolina football coach Larry Fedora is facing scrutiny after he questioned the validity of studies on degenerative brain illness that affects football players. Fedora also said the football is under attack while answering questions Wednesday during the Atlantic Coast Conference Media Days in Charlotte. Fedora said he's not convinced a link between chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, or has anything to do with football. It's not been proven. Mm-hmm. Here's a clip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that guy.
That's what I worry about. And I do believe that if it gets to that point, that our country goes down too.
Larry later said he had doubts that playing football increases your chances of brain disease, despite the fact that science says it does.
If Rand Paul and Chuck Norris had a kid.
That's right. Rand Norris.
Rand Norris.
Fedora.
Yeah.
Wasn't.
I don't like. Football does a lot of good, and we have to remember that. It helps a lot of kids and helps a lot of people, but it does. I'm doing the same math on this as I would do in the 80s about smoking or nicotine not being addictive or cigarettes not being addictive. It's like, well, I see a lot of people getting up in the middle of dinner and going outside and smoking while they have a plate of food there. I think that's addictive.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, I'm no scientist, but just if I just said I'm going to hover over this campfire and kind of use my jacket as a sort of catch-all flu, and I'm just going to put it on, I'm just going to breathe this firewood the whole time. I think or hang out on the chimney, a smokestack of a steam locomotive. Yeah, I'd go like I could see after a certain number of years that might have some detrimental effect on the thing. Sure. And I could see we're getting conked on the head 1,000 times a season might cause a little something in the brain in the noodle department.
Well, to your point, though, he said something interesting. He said that something to the effect of most of the military, if you have a really good soldier in the military, it's highly likely that they played football in high school or college.
I'm down with him on all the...
really?
No, what the hell does that mean?
Oh, just discipline-wise, I would
imagine.
Discipline
and the whatever.
Oh, I thought you were talking about CTE.
I'm down with all the positives you get, and then this is a side effect that you have to weigh in.
Yeah.
Like, I want Sonny to play football. I think Lynette wants Sonny to play tackle football because I'm assuming that he's going to get a lot of benefit from all the structure and the discipline and the overcoming the fears and the adversity and whatever. And I'm not counting on him, you know, going into a pro career and getting conked on the head over and over again. But it's a balance. But by the way, so is riding a bicycle on a road for exercise. Yeah. You can get run over.
Yeah.
It's a balance.
But also,
it was a week or two ago, I was bemoaning, lamenting the intellectualism that's sort of taking over our country. And this is just another example. Like, science says it does, but he doesn't. It's like, I understand that science and facts can threaten your worldview or threaten the things. You have an existential crisis now. You're a football coach or you're whatever, and like, you're threatened by this thing. But your job is to adapt to the new information, not to say, like, I don't believe it, or the science is out, or whatever your roadblock is, wherever your spike strip is, let it go. Adapt.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you said, it's a risk of the game. Now you have to evaluate whether or not the risk is worth it.
Yeah. And there's also a risk to your joints as well.
Mm-hmm.
Ask many interior linemen who played many a season.
They're limping around now.
With the knee replacements. And you know, ask Conrad Dobler how his knee's doing. Seriously, ask him.
Ask him.
Okay,
seriously.
One Gina, second. Go. Tweet him.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Mm-hmm. Will you fillet my branzino?
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Simply Safe. Again, this show is brought to you in part by Simply Safe. It's awesome. It's exactly what you need for your home security. So just go to simplysafe.com/Adam. No hidden fees, nothing pricey in the contracts. Go to Simply Safe. All right, let's see. I told you guys where we were going to be, and you can go ahead and go to adamcarolla.com if you want to find out more about us. I'd like to give Hunter a plug, but I don't know where. Read that Forbes article he did on me 4 years ago. Get yourself educated on some Newman cars.
He's a sports reporter in Houston, so Google him.
So Google him, stuff. Bitch. And see, here's how my brain works. 5 years from now, we'll be like, oh, like that football coach named after a hat. And then Chris will go, huh? Okay, that's a football coach with a hat name.
Top hats?
Pops and
pork pie.
Yeah, that's how my brain works.
Joey Derby?
Freddie Roman. All right, so until next time, Adam Crawford, Mark Garagus, and Hunter, and Gina, and Bald, say mahalo. Brian, you're funny.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him a thumbs up on Facebook and leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 for tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Man Grapevines, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.